Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Christ. Be seated, Brian. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was first ordained at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sabin, Minnesota, we had about 120 to 125 people in service regularly on a Sunday. Now, over the years, the attendance fluctuated, as it does in most churches. But by 2012, we were averaging about 75 people on a Sunday. Now, you can imagine the concern that the members had thinking about the future of the congregation. But soon that concern turned into finger pointing and the demanding for answers. Well, I had a very good answer that no one wanted to hear. In those 6 years, I officiated at 47 funerals for our members. People wanted to know why attendance was down, and it was all I could do to keep from standing up and pointing to the church cemetery down the road and saying, "That's why attendance is down." Probably was best that I did not say that. I was hurt, I was angry, so I said nothing at all. And actually, it was quite a missed opportunity. Because if you think about it, all of those members, all 47, were just as much a part of the church as everyone else. Their bodies may be in the ground down by the Buffalo River, but they were alive and are alive in Christ. Therefore, they are a part of the church that we call the church triumphant. And so often we as churches get caught up in what is happening now, today, temporal issues. And of course that we do have to deal with those. And when we do, John comes along with a reminder not to forget about the glorious future that the Lord has in store for us. After I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. The small part here of John's vision in Revelation helps us to see that life in a Lutheran congregation is not just about living Sunday to Sunday, week to week, month to month, or year to year. But rather, the goal of every Christian, every church, the entire church militant here on the earth, is to be part of that great multitude for eternity that no one can count, from every tribe, nation, and people, standing before the throne of God, standing before Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, clothed in resurrected glory forever. It's why we establish congregations, why we seek to be faithful in reaching out to the lost, why we call pastors, teachers, build sanctuaries, baptize our children, teach Bible studies in Sunday school. We do all these so that others and our members, people of our community, this generation of sinners, may be part of the great multitude standing before the Lamb. So why did the Lord give this vision to share with the seven churches and us as future congregations? Because he knew the faithful saints of these congregations had struggled in the past. They were going through struggles right then and would continue to struggle in the future. Sin was alive and well in these pagan cities of ancient Rome. In the seven letters Jesus dictates to John, we hear of false prophets, false teaching, sexual immorality, a Jezebel-like priestess, spiritual lukewarmness, and so much more. Sounds a lot like our world we're living in today, doesn't it? So much of the Christian church today is confused on what marriage is, how sexuality should be experienced, who created the world in the first place. As Jesus reminds us again this morning in the Beatitudes, that the faithful church will face challenges. Blessed are you when others persecute you or utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be in heaven. God gave this vision of the future to the church triumphant, of the church triumphant after the resurrection, to encourage us about what our individual future is and what our future is as a congregation. That future is risen, living, worshiping, and singing for all eternity. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Knowing this to be our future encourages us to be active and faithful in our witness in the present. So we see this great multitude of heaven that John describes before us. How did they get there? Why are they there? Is it the amount of services that they attended through their life? The number of boards and committees that they served on? The amount of money they gave to the homeless on the corners in Oak Harbor? Not even close. There is one reason and one reason only given for their status. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Our future as a congregation, our future as the church militant on this earth, and your future as the church triumphant in heaven is based upon the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, that was shed on Calvary's cross to atone for all sins. And as John the Baptist proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God who is taking away the sins of the world." You are saints. You are holy ones now and forever through the holy blood of Jesus. And that almost sounds odd, doesn't it? The last thing you want to do with a white robe is get blood on it. That blood will stain it permanently, won't it? But the blood of Jesus cleanses us permanently because it is the full payment for all sin. It is the blood of Jesus that continues to cleanse you from sin today as you hear the words of absolution in this place, and also when you drink it, when you kneel at this rail. This vision is one of the most expansive descriptions in all of Scripture of what the church after Jesus returns will be like when he takes us with him. Listen to your future as faithful believers and as this congregation. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor the scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Not a single year goes by without tears, pain, and struggle. And that will continue every year as we live on this earth. I'm sure you have shed tears in saying temporary goodbyes to some saints in your family, in our congregation members here that have now gone on to be with the Lord. But nothing has or ever will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But one day we will sin no more. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more struggle. Then we will trade those small white baptismal gowns that most of us wore as infants for the permanent robe of resurrected glory. And our loving Lord will wipe every tear of pain and struggle from our eyes. Revelation 7 helps us see your ultimate and certain future as forgiven saints through the blood of Jesus. God himself will be with you. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. We will be with him, and we will see him as he is. That is your bright and your glorious future as saints through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.